Hey, Industrial Talk is brought to you by Cap Logistics. You want to minimize downtime? Absolutely. Increase reliability? You bet. Ensure operational profitability? Yes, you do. That means you need 24/7, 365 insights into your supply chain. Look no further. Cap Logistics. Go to caplogistics.com or just call them. They're great people. 800-227-2471. Also, AI-Dash. AI-Dash is on a mission to create a greener, cleaner, safer planet from space. AI-Dash helps core industries become more resilient, efficient, and sustainable through the power of satellites and AI. Go out to AI-Dash.com. Find out more.
Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, once again, welcome to Industrial Talk, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. It is backed up by data, Jim, so you don't even try to... Yeah, data's driving that one. It is a platform that celebrates industry professionals all around the world because you are bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you're solving problems, you're innovating, and you are making the world a better place. It is an ever-expanding... I'm trying to get in all the words there, Jim.
I love it. Yeah. And you're not even reading this, Scott.
No, I'm not. It's all off the top of my head. An ever-expanding industrial ecosystem of problem solvers. How about that one?
That's a good one. That's fancy.
All right, Deloitte is in the house. Jim is his name, Jim Thompson. And we're going to be talking about, of course, decarbonization as well as many other things. So let's get it. Okay, I reckon. There you go.
I like it.
Well, thanks. You know, I stayed at a Holiday Inn, so I feel like I can be a DJ too. Having a good conference?
Yeah, it's good, Scott. I think the coolest thing after 2 years of looking at two-dimensional people through Zoom and all the other technologies, it's just amazing to be back here. I mean, this conference is always a highlight for the industry every year, and it's been tough the last couple of years. So it's just wonderful to have this many thousands of people together again.
But you know what's the interesting part? It didn't slow down the innovation.
Not at all.
Everything continued to move along. We just didn't have the, you know, shaking of the hands.
And it has been incredible, even just looking at the last 2 years. Everything around the decarbonization journey and new technologies, new solutions, government funding and grants that are going to help continue to kickstart things. It's a cool time to be involved in the power space, for sure.
You know, I always think about this. Utilities will drive the adoption speed, you know. They tend to be very pragmatic because they still have to say, I got to deliver power. It's got to be reliable. It's got to have all the components that I've been living in for the past 70, 90 years, right?
Yep, for sure.
But what I see out here is are solutions that are just helping achieve, still maintaining reliability, still maintaining all of the things that are driving utilities, but doing it more efficiently, which is pretty doggone cool.
Yeah, agreed. And I think, Scott, it's interesting because it's probably one of the only industries where they can't pick their target demographic and sell to a very small, narrow niche. Right? You have to be supporting 100% of the customers in your territory. So the solutions they have to come up with need to be flexible to look at every residential customer class out there, to look at large-scale industrials, to look at small, medium businesses. And so it's amazing to look at all of the breadth of solutions that have to target those different demographics.
So the question I would have is where do I start? You know, I still have my obligation over here, but then I have people and companies say, this is it, decarbonization. This is be driven by Washington, D.C., but you got to do that. But you also got to do this, and you got to do that. And I know the utilities are saying, like, what? What money? Well, I got this rate case here.
And that's the key thing. So when you look at now that we almost need a compact between regulators, utilities, the federal government, and customers, right? And everybody has to be part of this because you cannot do it if the regulators aren't going to be supportive, and they are supportive of doing this. But on the other side of the coin, they obviously have to look at how do they support the needs of residential customers in their service territory, keeping rates low. So on one hand, you need to invest a lot of capital. On the other hand, usually utilities get that relief through rate structures.
Yeah.
So does that mean rates go up? Hope not, because they're trying to keep rates down, right? So it's a fascinating equation right now in our industry.
It's way above my pay grade, because I'm telling you right now, the market
becomes real chirpy in a negative way once somebody's saying, is that my power bill? What? And that my power went out, and it just keeps on going. And you're pulling on that string. And with that, the risk is, if I'm screaming about the fact that you're not doing the job, then the utilities will do what they do, and they'll say, okay, I hear you. We're not going to proceed forward, which impacts a lot of other the progress.
Yep, 100%. And I think it's, you know, when you look at everything going on, and we're all familiar, whether you call it global climate changes or future of energy or decarbonization or ESG, all of those related topics and buzzwords that weren't in our vernacular a few years ago, but they're all in all of our vernacular today. And you look at what all of the good, societal good that comes from the broad definition of ESG and everything, but all of this stuff is everybody is wanting to move very, very quickly, but you need to do it in a purposeful, rigorous manner and not go too far. You don't want to take the two steps forward and then realize next year, my gosh, we did that too fast. Now we have to go back four steps to start doing it a different way. And so this, it's so much dynamic change in our industry that, again, it's a fascinating time, but a lot of challenges, but tons of opportunities.
You're spot on, and you're absolutely right. There still needs to be that pragmatic approach because you don't want to go backwards.
Right.
You don't want to go backwards. And that the balance that I see is there's a lot of solutions out here, and like I said, I can get confused easily. Where do I go? And each utility is different, you know. This is a priority, that's not. But then you go to the next utility, right. Well, that's a priority, and this is not. So it's almost cafeteria-style solutions for each utility and where they're at.
Yeah, which introduces, obviously, from a solution vendor, of which we have hundreds and hundreds here on this wonderful floor at the conference this year. But all of these solutions need to be still have some degree of standardization, because if you end up with the same vendor having 20 different versions of software for 20 different utilities because of how they need to manipulate and manage the grid in their territory, then you're left in a case where the long-term getting out of standard and having long-term customized solutions is just not—it's not long-term viable to efficiently manage what utilities are doing, keeping the lights on with all these systems, right? So we're seeing more and more standardization. We're seeing more and more use of working with industry groups like EPRI and others that are bringing a true focus to collaborate and have utilities collaborate on at least the 80 to 90% of the solution, and then just have some, I'd say, configurations maybe locally for them. But other than that, we need that standard approach.
Boy, can I agree with you more? No, I can't, because that is your. I was telling somebody, I said, we need trusted standards, and it's sure there's frothiness out there of excitement and great and crackling of this, that, and the other thing of solutions, but to your point, standardizing allows us to scale it better, to have greater focus on what is truly needed. And Deloitte does a great job at sort of trying to create that clear vision.
Yeah, and we definitely try, and we want to be part of it, as do most of the large integrators on the planet today, right? We all want to collaborate as much as we can to bring the right change for the world, right? It sounds, you know, it's a little bit of the kumbaya stuff, but it's true. I mean, what we're facing on the planet is unlike anything, and if you look, you know, what's it going to be like in 2035, 2040, 2050? We need the time for changes now, right? There's no choice in doing this. But we do have to make sure we do it, again, in a very responsible, pragmatic manner to make sure that things continue forward and we don't go off the tracks left or right. And I think...
I love that.
And our industry, Scott, this power industry and the utility industry is unique, again, because there's, for the most part, not a lot of competition in local geographies for the utility companies themselves, not retail energy providers, but for the utility companies.
Right.
So you are able to bring together at this conference all these utility companies sitting in sessions together and coming up with ideas together, working together. Mutual assistance programs, which are such a big part of our utility ecosystem. All of those are possible because of the collaboration in the industry. And that's why a conference like this is unlike other conferences. It's truly a collaborative event, and networking is just wonderful to be here.
I love it because I think that, everybody understands what happened with the pandemic and the problems and all that. But I think that it pushed people to collaborate more.
Yep.
I don't have all the answers.
Yep.
And I love the fact that you're talking about standardization and doing what is right and good. That is a conversation. Now, one of the challenges that I see, and I think I want you to touch upon it, is a lot of these utilities are being driven, and they have to, it's going to happen. Let's just lay that out. You participate. You got to figure out how to play in it, but it's going to happen. And that is around decarbonization. Mm-hmm. What do we do? How do we progress? And how do we achieve what we need to achieve.
Yeah, and I'd say, Scott, it's interesting because the decarbonization journey and renewable integration, that's not new for our industry, right? Utility companies have been doing that for a couple decades and have had plans to do that. This is a you know, I use the analogy shot in the arm, I guess. Different meaning these days with shots in the arm, but definitely shot in the arm. but it's definitely a time where we're able to look at now, how do we make sure we're coming together and again, working together for a better world long term. And I think that the solutions here around the conference, when I walk around and talk to solution providers and other integrators for that matter and everything, everyone has now a common journey that they're on. And everyone is focused on this. And the industry has, again, been doing this for decades. Gets a little bit of a bad rap, as we know, because people think, well, it's coal production. Well, no, that is some of it. That's the reality of what it's been. But there's already a systemic progress plan in place to get off that. It's just that we're looking at now pulling that end date in and planting that flag maybe somewhere between 2035, 2050, depending, you know, what utility it is and what you might have in terms of geography ways that you can help that'll be unique, and you might have hydro opportunities. But not all utilities have that, so they're going to be more in solar and with wind and areas like that. So it's an exciting journey, but it's a lot of work to be done. And by the way, it's not cheap. Right. So at the end of the day,
that's that whole other conversation.
At the end of the day, you know, somebody's paying for this.
See, and what's interesting, we start talking about EV. Okay, that's cool. That's cool.
Yep.
And then I can think of these heavy trucks, these boom trucks that go to, you know, respond. Yep. And I said, how do you electrify that truck?
Yeah. But and you do, though. So fleet electrification for even all the way up to Class A vehicles and semis and everything, that's real.
I know.
That's happening. And it's moving. Obviously, the supply chain challenges these days make it a little bit tougher for some of the components that are required, some of the heavy metals that are in other parts of the world, the horrific stuff going on in Ukraine. I mean, we source a lot of raw materials from there, obviously, and components for renewables. So it's definitely a challenging time, but the industry's pushing forward, man. Everyone's in this together, and it's cool to see that our industry, everyone always comes together. Again, when you think of responding to storms and the way that utilities have their folks drive across the country and just help get the power back on, this is our industry. And so working together to solve a global situation, such as looking at climate change and everything and going all in on it, that's not new for utility companies. Utility companies have always done that. It's what makes the industry so great to work in.
So a past life, I used to negotiate all the power purchase agreements, right? We were talking about that. And that's been going on for years. And even pushing the envelope, and we made mistakes, but trust me, we made mistakes. And they still exist today. But it's I'm a big fan of just moving forward. And if you have to fail, you fail quickly, and then you adjust and you move forward. And you just keep on moving forward because that's the only way. And a lot of these companies, the challenge I always see is Deloitte, you and others are there's a velocity with this innovation. There's a velocity with this a movement. But I'm still sort of old school, and I'm gonna sort of take my time. And so, like, there's like this timing issue. Like, you're blazing the trail out here, but you see where I'm at? I'm right here.
Yep. And that's reality, right? And then I think the key difference now is there would be some things in the past, even 20 years ago, when EVs started to come out, when we had gas prices going up. There was some people looking at them, right? And there was a big demand on certain models of cars. You couldn't get them. And then things kind of quieted down and got back to normal. This one is not going to go in reverse. So this journey towards decarbonization, it's not a fluke. It's not a trend. It's just the way it is. So I think everybody, all the solution providers here, all the utilities that are here, they're all here because everyone's in this together. And they work so well together. And they collaborate so well together. It's just wonderful to be
It to is. Be it here, really yeah. is, man. And I agree with you 100%. And, I want to own decarbonization as I want to own that word so that I can pay for it. Because everybody is doggone talking about it, and they're trying to come up with some pretty major solutions.
There you go.
I love it.
There you go.
Right. See, you live in that world. I just talk in the world, but you live in the world of
people. Come on back. Come on back, Scott.
The water's warm. You'll
be climbing up poles again.
No. You want to? I'll have a heart attack. Yeah. Anyway, how do the people get a hold of you, Jim?
So easiest way is if you go to Deloitte.com, that's the easiest way to reach me. And there's an industry tab there. Go under energy and look under power and utilities, and there's my smiling face.
Wow. He's famous. He's Jim Thompson. He's with Deloitte. That was a great conversation, my
Thanks,
friend.
Scott. Thank you very much for being on. Enjoyed it. Always enjoyed it. Cool. Thanks so much.
Very cool. All right, listeners, we're going to have all the contact information for Jim and Deloitte out on industrialtalk.com. Thank you very much for joining. Once again, we're broadcasting from DistribuTech 22, Dallas, Texas, is the location. Great. Like Jim said, they're collaborating out here. They're solving problems and working together. It's a great time. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
we
Scott.
Will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Once again, thank you for joining me on Industrial Talk. And as you can tell, we were on site, DistribuTech, Dallas, Texas. Put that on your 2023 calendar to attend, because you get great people like Jim and others talking about real solutions, talking about how to collaborate to solve pretty big problems that exist in the utility and energy space. You do. You need to be on this journey, and you need to be working with companies and individuals that you can trust. Jim, without a doubt. Thank you, Jim, for being on Industrial Talk, sharing your wisdom with the best listeners, and I mean the best listeners in the universe. It's all backed up by data. All right, go out to industrialtalk.com. We are building a platform that is, one, entertaining, hopefully, and two, that provides the education you need in this massive, in this fast-paced industrial world. Go out to Industrial Talk, get involved, be a part of the solution, be a part of the community or the ecosystem, because I got to throw that in there. All right, be bold, be brave. Dare greatly, as I always say. Hang out with people like Jim, and you are going to change the world. Industry does that. Thank you very much for what you're doing. Thank you that we can celebrate you on Industrial Talk. We're going to have another great conversation coming from DistribuTech shortly, so stay tuned.